If I hear his promises that he speaks to me, I know those promises. And if I know those promises, I can hold on to those promises steadfastly throughout the year, even when it appears that those promises might be slow in coming. We also saw last week that as we listen and as we believe, as we know the promises, we know the Word of God, and as we believe, we can also enter into the year 2024 with an audacity of faith. And we saw the example of audacity of faith from Moses. So, with Moses, we saw this in Exodus chapter 33. I want to read to you just a number of verses. We're going to look at verses 18 through 22. Moses' audacity of faith. And he said, this is Moses speaking to God, "Please show me your glory." That's the audacity of faith, to ask for something that no one else had. Then he said, this is God, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." That's what God is saying to Moses. "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here's a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by." Moses asked with audacity of faith to see the glory of God. God responds to Moses' audacity of faith. God responds to that audacity, and he says, "I will make my goodness pass before you, and I, God, will proclaim my name before you." Now, we saw last week that when it says that God causes his goodness to pass before Moses, we saw that that literally means to be brought into a state of spiritual blessing. So God is saying, because of your audacity of faith, Moses, I'm going to bring you into a state of spiritual blessing. That's a good place to be. But then God adds to it and says, "I, God, I will proclaim my name before you." That is God having an intimate moment with Moses. Because we know that where God places his name, he places his presence. It's an intimate moment between God and Moses. And as we just looked at this morning before we went into praise and worship, the name of God that is used here, when God says, "I will proclaim my name," he's talking about his intimate personal name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. This is a personal thing with him. So God responds to Moses' audacity of faith by saying, "I'm going to bring you, Moses, into a state of spiritual blessing and a state of intimacy with me." It's a beautiful, beautiful response to the audacity of Moses' faith. But now this is really interesting. If you stop and you consider verse number 19, the end of verse number 19, and into verse 20, and you really read it and pick up the context, in the context what's being said, God is actually saying to Moses that you don't have the right to make this request of me. You don't have the right to make the request to see my glory. But out of my graciousness and out of my compassion, I will grant this to you. So Moses doesn't have the right to make this request, but God grants it out of his grace and compassion. Remember, grace is God giving us those things that we don't deserve and we cannot possibly earn. So just ponder this for a moment. Moses is making a request of God to see his glory, and God says to Moses, "You don't have the right to ask that question of me, but I'm going to do this out of grace and I'm going to do this out of compassion." Now, over the last like 5 years, numerous times, I've tried to show you and encourage you that when we have that sense of wonder about God and the things of God, when we have that sense of wonder about his word, his kingdom, or this creation that he's made, God always responds to our genuine sense of wonder. Over the last 3 years, I think we've seen about pressing in. If we will truly seek after him, if we will press in to know him more, God responds to our desire to know him more as we press in. Well, now we also see that God responds to the audacity of our faith. He responds to our desire to do beyond if we will pursue God in the same way that Moses did, with that same passion that Moses had, if we will pursue him with that same passion of Moses, we can operate, we can move into that audacity of faith in this year. You can believe for things that you didn't even know you could believe for in him. And when we pursue Jesus Christ with that same passion that Moses had, and we operate in that audacity of faith, what things will Jesus show you in the year to come? What things will he show you that you've never seen before? What are those great things? There's a lot of places in the Bible that show us this audacity of faith. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I just want to hit a few highlights because I want you to see this theme of having audacity of faith for 2024. When the widow's son died, Elijah stretched himself out over the body of that dead boy three times, stretched himself out and called on God and asked that the boy's soul would return to his body. And the boy was restored and healed. Now, this had never been done before. Why on earth? What made Elijah think that he could do this, stretch it out over the boy, that he could do this and the boy would be healed and restored? What made him think that? It's just the audacity of faith of someone who is passionately in pursuit of God. In fact, this is how the account goes in 1 Kings 17. And he stretched himself out on the child three times, cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." That is audacious faith to ask that, which has never been done before. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah and the soul of the child came back to him and he was revived. Acts chapter 19, it tells us that God moved in unusual ways through Paul. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Moses had no past examples from others who had done this. This is unprecedented. Paul. Paul had no past examples of that, but he did this anyway. Even though it was unprecedented, he allowed those miracles to take place. He did not hesitate to allow those things to take place. That is audacity of faith. Elisha had audacity of faith when he told Naaman, "Go wash in the Jordan River seven times and you'll be healed of leprosy." Or the woman with the issue of blood, who said, "If I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be healed and delivered." And she was. These are all wonderful examples of audacity of faith. These are all wonderful examples of if you and I, what things can we believe for now? What things can we believe for in the year ahead that we've never believed for in the past? Let's make 2024 a year of audacious faith from each one of us. Let's make it a year of audacious faith. But that starts by having to learn to listen and hear the voice of God. It starts by learning to listen, hear his voice, recognize his voice, recognize the promises that he makes, and believing. It starts by learning to listen and hear his voice. Now, before I go any further, I want to pause because I want to emphasize this point because this is really important. We need to learn to listen to hear his voice. Not the world's voice, not even our voice. We need to learn to listen and hear his voice. Because too often what happens is people let their own heart's desires lead them to where they will say, "Well, God said this," when God didn't say that. That's not a good place to be. And the Bible makes it clear throughout the Bible. The Old Testament focuses on this a lot. God doesn't like it when we say God said something he did not say. We need to make sure that we are learning to listen and hear his voice, not our own and not the world's. And recall this also. Recall that when Moses, the response that God made to Moses, when he was excited in that faith and with that audacious faith, he asked God, "Show me your glory." Remember what God said. God said to Moses, I'm going to pick you up, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will pass before you and reveal my glory to you. We just read that a little while ago. Look at it again. This is Exodus 33, 21 and 22. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass. We need to know the voice of the Lord. We need to know the word that God is speaking to us. We need to know the word that's here, but we need to know the word that God is speaking to us also as we recognize his voice. We need to know his voice. We need to hear his promises, and we need to believe his promises. And if you will hear the voice of the Lord, know his word, know his promises, and believe, God will show you his greatness, just like he did with Moses. However, if we allow our own heart's desires, if we allow those heart's desires to lead us to say, well, that God said this when he didn't say that, when we do that, we get a different outcome from the cleft of the rock. Because there's another place in the Bible where it talks about the cleft of the rock. And it comes from the prophet Obadiah. And it's when Obadiah is talking to the people, and he's speaking about people who in their pride allow themselves to be deceived. In their pride, they allow themselves to be deceived. And it says that they are brought down from the cleft of the rock. Obadiah chapter 1, verse number 3. The pride of your heart has deceived you. When we say God said, because it's our desire, when we say God said something that's our desire, but God didn't say it, that's pride, and we're deceiving ourselves. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is on high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Look, Moses, we saw this last week, Moses knew the word of God. He knew the promise that God had given. Remember, we saw last week that Moses heard God say, I will provide an angel, and that angel is going to lead you and the people into the land that I've prepared for you. He's going to lead them into the promised land. But then we saw 10 chapters went by, and this still hadn't happened. And we saw that Moses responded by Moses saying to God, God, you said this, but I haven't seen it. I believe you, but I haven't seen it. So show me your way. And this is when God responded and God said to Moses, you know what? It's not going to be instead of an angel, I myself will lead you. I myself will lead your people into the promised land that I have for you. This delighted Moses' heart because that's what Moses wanted all along. It delighted Moses' heart and Moses got what he was seeking and what he was looking for. And this is just such a great statement. It's a great reminder to you and I. Because Moses heard the voice of God. He knew what God's word was. He knew the promise of God. And because he knew that, he was able to follow that, receive. God placed him up in the cleft in the rock, and God showed him his glory. He was able to operate in audacity of faith. But then you also have those who, if in their pride, they say that God said when it's their desire, but it's not what God said. That's pride. They're lifting themselves up and they're deceiving themselves. They will be brought low. So, as I emphasize the importance of starting this new year by learning to listen and hear the voice of God, we need to make sure that we are truly learning to listen and hear his voice. Hear his voice and know what he is speaking. The year ahead can be a year of seeing great things like we've never seen before. Amen? Amen? The year ahead can be a year when we see exponential growth in our spiritual lives and our own spiritual development. We can see those things, but it all begins with learning to listen and hear his voice, recognize his voice, and believe. How do we do that? Well, in part, we find the answer to that question from the life of Samuel as a boy. So if you remember, Samuel, when he's a boy in those early chapters of 1 Samuel, Samuel is ministering before the Lord with Eli. Before Eli, he's ministering to the Lord. And the Bible tells us that on the night that God called Samuel, the boy, by name, remember, Samuel thought that was the voice of Eli. And so Samuel responded to the voice of the God. He got up, he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." After this happened three times, Eli finally realizes, well, this is the voice of God calling Samuel. And so Eli says to Samuel, "Go back and lie down. And if he calls you again, this is what you must say." And the words that Eli gives to Samuel are words that we need to heed ourselves today. Because what Eli told Samuel to do at that moment, he said, "If you hear the voice of the Lord again, this is what you must say. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Speak, Lord, your servant hears." This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went, he laid down in his place. Now the Lord came, and he stood, and he called as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, Lord, your servant hears.'" This needs to be the response of our hearts as well. If we want to learn to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, learn to hear and identify and recognize his voice, follow the example of Samuel. And we should be prepared to say, "I'm listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Now, you can do this any way you want. I think I shared this in Bible study. But this is what the Lord showed me to do about 3 months ago, or maybe 2.5 months ago. I've told you guys in the past, for me, the importance is when I go to bed at night, make sure that your last thoughts of the day are on him, or on Jesus, and on the Word of God. So when my head's on the pillow, I'm thinking, I'm closing the day with my last thoughts being on Jesus. And then I wake up in the morning and let my first thoughts be on him. That's always been a guideline for me. But the Holy Spirit told me almost 3 months ago to do this. Don't just, and this is just me, you listen and do what he says. What he told me to do is when you lay down at night, don't just lay your head down. Be intentional to hear my voice. And so he told me to prop my pillows up and to sit up. So I sit up right in bed before I go to sleep. I sit up, and in the darkness, I will sometimes say this, sometimes I'll say something close to it, but I will say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." Sometimes I say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is learning how to hear." And so I want to sit and listen. I say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is hearing." And then I just sit and I listen. And he shows me things. I will get glimpses of things. I was telling someone not too long ago that a couple of weeks ago, I was just sitting there quietly, and all of a sudden, it was like I wasn't asleep, I was awake. But it's one of those rare times that I just knew I was sitting there in bed, but I also knew spiritually I was somewhere else. And I could see that, and I could see this woman's face. And it was in black and white, but it was three-dimensional. I could see her face, and I could describe it. It was like in my mind's eye, I could reach out and I could touch her. I don't know who she was. I don't know why God brought her to my mind, but I prayed for her and I stood in the gap for her as the Holy Spirit told me to do so. So he's been showing me if I will be intentional at night, if I'll be intentional and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears," and he's learning how to hear. He's showing me how to hear his voice in ways that I haven't before. It's just a matter of being intentional. So if we want to learn to hear his voice, listen to the words of Eli and what he taught Samuel, and let that be what we learn as well. "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." Because he is speaking to each one of us. And we need to learn to hear. And as we learn to hear, that voice becomes all the more clear. And the more that his voice becomes clear, the more that we can speak the words that he tells us to speak, and the more we can know the promises that he has for us. Not just for our good, but for our good so that we can touch and affect the world around us as well. So Samuel learned to listen and hear the voice of God and recognize it as the voice of God. And Samuel's our example. Samuel's our example for this year, but Samuel's our example for always. We need to learn to listen and hear the voice of the Lord, recognize the voice of the Lord, and believe and obey. This is what we need to do. And if we will do this, you will experience exponential growth in the year to come. You will experience exponential growth. Because Samuel learned to hear the voice of the Lord and recognize the voice of the Lord. And the Bible makes sure that we understand that the one who learned to listen and hear the voice of the Lord, that is the one that grew in the Lord. When you read through the book of Samuel, you're going to find in 1 Samuel chapters 2 and 3, you're going to find that the Bible makes sure that you understand Samuel was growing in the Lord. And you see this almost the same way that when we see in some of the chapters of the Gospels, when it talks about the childhood of Jesus. It makes clear, the Bible tells us, that Jesus grew in the Lord. And in much the same way, this is some of the same verbiage that is used with Samuel. The Bible wants you to know that the one who learns to listen and hear the voice of God is the one who continues to grow in the Lord. This is what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 21. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child, Samuel, grew before the Lord. Bible's making sure you understand. Samuel is learning to grow in the Lord. A few verses later, we see this whole thing reinforced once again as Samuel continues to grow before men and God. In verse number 26, and the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and with men. This is some of the same verbiage that we see with Jesus Christ. Samuel is learning to listen and hear the voice of God. And as he's hearing the voice of God, he is also growing in the Lord. The one who learns to hear, listen and hear the voice of God is the one who is continually growing in the Lord. And here's the thing. Samuel learned to hear the voice of the Lord, and Samuel grew in the Lord, and God honored Samuel for that, just as he will you and I. Samuel learned to listen and hear the voice, he grew in the Lord, and God honored him because of that. The Bible tells us that not one of the words that came from Samuel's mouth fell to the ground. God honored Samuel learning to listen and hear his voice. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. We need to see the word of the Lord coming back to this world, to the world around us. We need to see the world experiencing that. We need to be like Samuel and learn to hear the voice of Jesus Christ and recognize his voice so that we can believe and that we can live those words and speak those words as well. So what does it mean when it says that none of Samuel's words fell to the ground? Well, the best way to understand it is to get in your mind a picture of an archer. So a good bowman with a bow and an arrow, a good bowman, each arrow he shot would hit its mark. A good bowman, every arrow he shoots hits the intended target. Every arrow hits its mark, because if it didn't hit its mark, it would just miss the mark and fall to the ground, having no effect, ineffectual in its intention. So for you and I, as we learn to hear the voice of the Lord and identify and recognize the voice of the Lord, as we learn to hear the voice of the Lord and we learn to hear the words he is speaking to us, and then we speak those words that he tells us to speak, or we live or we operate or we respond to those words that we speak, they will hit the mark that God intended. We learn to hear his voice and know his voice and hear his words, and we speak those words will hit the mark every time. They will hit the mark that God intended. They will not miss the mark, and they will not fall to the ground ineffectually. Those words will accomplish what God sent them to do. So when you and I learn to hear his voice and hear his words and then speak those words that God speaks, they will produce in you what God intends to produce in you in the year to come. But beyond that, because you are learning to listen and hear, not only will his words produce their purposes in your life, but he will then use you to advance the kingdom of God in 2024. Because he knows he has someone that will listen and will obey and do the things that he has said for us to do. We need to learn to listen and hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Recognize it as his voice and respond accordingly. Because we grow according to what we hear. If you're listening and you're hearing the voice of Jesus Christ, you're going to grow in the things of God. You listen and you hear the voice of Jesus Christ, you're going to grow in the things of the kingdom of God. Conversely, if I'm listening and hearing the voice of the world, I'm going to grow in the things of the world. Now, you can read through these chapters with Samuel and the growth of Samuel, and we can witness Samuel's growth as he grows in the Lord. And Samuel's growth in the Lord is in direct contrast to the sons of Eli. Direct contrast. Because the sons of Eli are doing evil in the sight of people. And they're doing evil before the Lord. So as we see Samuel growing in the Lord, we also see the sons of Eli growing. But the Bible tells us they are growing fat in the things of the world. Because they're rebelling against God, and they are taking the best portions of the sacrifices, the best which is intended for God, they're taking those best portions for themselves. This is 1 Samuel 2:29. Why then do you kick, trample upon, treat with contempt my sacrifice and my offerings which I commanded? This is God speaking to Eli. And honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves upon the choicest parts of every offering from my people Israel. They are fattening themselves on the best of the world. Their focus is on the things of the world. We're either going to learn to listen to hear the voice of Jesus Christ and grow in the things of the kingdom of God, or we're going to learn to hear the voice of the world, and then we're going to grow fat in the things of the world. There's no middle ground. It's one or the other. You're either going to be like Samuel, or you're going to be like the sons of Eli. And it doesn't just matter to you what you become. It matters to the world around you as well. Because we need to know what God speaks to you and I, he speaks to our good and to our benefit because he loves you. And he wants to grow you in him. And he wants you to enjoy all of the promises. And he wants you to enjoy the intimacy of that relationship. But it's not just about you and me. It's about growing in Jesus Christ so that we can then be used to accomplish his will, to accomplish his things, to advance the kingdom of God in our lives, to touch the world around us. We need to be more than just cognizant about ourselves and how these things affect us. We need to be aware of the times and the seasons that we're in. We need to be aware of the times and the seasons, and we need to be aware of our role in those times and seasons. So think about what I'm about to read to you. Think about this, speaking about the days of Samuel, and how much does this sound like our culture and our world around us today? This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Look, the word of God is not rare in this culture, but revelation of the word of God sometimes is rare, even in the body of Christ. There needs to be a revelation of the word of God so that the word of God is not rare just to the body of Christ, but that the word of God has its impact and has its way in the world itself. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. Here's Eli. Eli is the high priest. His eyes are growing dim and he can't see. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord. This is a crucial moment for Israel. The lamp of God is about to go out in the tabernacle of God in Israel. Before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." So we need to understand and see. What I want you to realize is Samuel came. Samuel learned to hear the voice of the Lord. He learned to listen and hear the voice of the Lord and recognize the voice of the Lord at a key moment in the history of Israel. When we study through the Word of God and you're going through the Old Testament, when you come to Samuel, you are coming to a huge key moment in the history of Israel and thus in the history of the world. Because Samuel is a transition. Samuel comes at a time when he is the transition. He's the transition from what Israel had become. Israel had come to a place where their hearts were cold to God. They weren't believing God for anything. We're going to see you'll see as you read on just after this, they had the Ark of the Covenant. This is where God met with men. But for them, it was just a token. It was something they could use to take into battle. They didn't have the personal relationship with God. And it was just after this that we see that the Ark of the Covenant is taken away. It's captured by the Philistines and taken away. So Israel is at a low point in their history. Their hearts are cold towards God. They're turning away from God, and they've turned to other gods. But now here comes Samuel. Samuel is the transition. Samuel transitions from what Israel had become to what God intended and planned for the nation of Israel and thus for the entire world itself. Because while Israel was cold-hearted to God and the lamp of God was about to go out in the tabernacle, here comes Samuel. And Samuel learns to listen and hear the voice of God and recognize the voice. And the words that Samuel spoke did not hit the ground. And Samuel is the one. Samuel's the one who anoints David. This is the transition. Israel's cold. Then we come to Samuel, who anoints David to be the king of Israel. And this establishes the kingdom of David. And it's from David and the lineage of David that Jesus comes. And Jesus brings the kingdom of God to this earth. Samuel is the transition from the coldness to the plan of God. Samuel came at a key moment. We're looking at, this is a key moment in the history of our nation and our culture. We need to be the ones who learn. We need to be the transition body of Christ. We need to be the ones who transition from where the world has become, cold hearts towards God. We need to be the transition that brings people back to an understanding of who Jesus Christ is and their own personal relationship with Jesus. Now Eli, his eyes were dim and he could not see. Too much of the church today, I'm not trying to be critical, I'm just stating what's true because we need to know the truth. Too much of the church in our culture today, their vision is dim. They are not seeing. In Eli's day, the lamp of God was about to go out in the tabernacle. Today, you and I are the light of Jesus Christ to the world. We need to be the ones that are stirring the fire of God within these tabernacles so that that light shines. When it says that Eli's eyes were growing dim and he couldn't see, that's not just a physical malady. It's a physical malady, but it's also a spiritual truth. Eli was at the point where he was no longer seeing and perceiving the things of the spiritual realm. Eli's lack of vision, Eli's dim eyes represented the light of God that was about to go out in the tabernacle where God met with men. Too much of the body of Christ has dimness of eyes. And they have dim eyes and they can't see the spiritual realm because they have hidden the light of God that is in them. They've hidden that light under the basket of the world's influence. They've allowed the influence of the world to so overcome them that they take that on and they hide the light of Jesus in them. Chapter 5, starting in verse number 14. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all of those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father in heaven. Moses wanted to see the glory of the Lord, and God granted him that, even though he didn't have the right. But you and I, as we allow the light of Jesus that is in us to shine forth unimpeded, when we allow that to happen, well, this is even saying,
by your good works glorify, you get to glorify the Lord by allowing his light to shine and doing his good works. The light of the tabernacle in Samuel's day, in Eli's day, the light of the tabernacle was about to go out. Exodus 27 tells us that the light in the tabernacle was to burn continuously, and yet the light was about to go out. Eli and his sons were about to let that light of God, that God said should burn continuously, they were about to let it go out. And in the verse that is right after, where God says the light of God, the lamp was to burn continuously, it's in the very next verse that we read that Aaron, who was the high priest at the time, Aaron and his two sons, they were responsible to be in the tabernacle and to tend to the lamp of God from evening till morning to make sure the lamp of God burned continuously and never went out. This is how it reads in Exodus chapter 27, 20 and 21. And you shall command the children of Israel that they will bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continuously. In the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons, Aaron the high priest and his sons, shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. Now this is what God says, and listen how he ends this. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. God had established that the high priest, Aaron and his sons, their job was to tend to the lamp of God and make sure from evening till morning that lamp burned continuously and did not go out. And that was the word of God that was established through the generations. So now we come to Eli. Eli, who is the high priest. And it's Eli and his two sons are supposed to be tending to the lamp of God in the tabernacle through the night so that the lamp of God does not go out. Well, Eli's sons are not tending to the lamp. They're not even in the tabernacle. They're off doing their own things, getting fat in the things of the world. Who is it that was there and tended to the lamp? The one Samuel, the one who learned to listen and hear the voice of God and recognize the voice of God so that he could honor the voice of God, believe the word, and obey. You and I, we need to make sure, as we look ahead to the rest of this year, 2024, we need to make sure that we are allowing the lamp of God, the light of Jesus Christ. You're a city on a hill whose light cannot be hid. We need to make sure that we are allowing the light of Jesus Christ to shine forth. We need to make sure that there is no bushel, there is no basket that is going to cover the light of Jesus Christ in us. And this is not just for your benefit, although it is for your benefit, but it's also so that the light of Jesus Christ, the lamp of God, will not go out in this nation which was founded upon the word of God. It is essential that each one of us understand the time and the season. And we need to see that we are the transition. If we believe the word of God, and we will listen to what we learned from Samuel, if we believe the word of God, we can be that transition from our nation, which was founded on the word of God, but whose hearts have grown cold against God. We can be the transition that brings this. I don't know how fast, but 2024 can be the start of it. Bringing this nation back to its understanding the personal relationship that God has with the individuals, but the relationship that God has with this nation founded upon him. So, this is our goal for 2024. Learn to listen. Learn to listen and hear his voice and recognize that it's his voice, not the world's voice, not my voice. Learn to listen and recognize his voice so that we can, just like Samuel, 2024 can be a year where we grow exponentially in the Lord. It's a year of continual growth. However close you are to Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, he's got a whole lot more in store for us if we desire it, and we will pursue those things. So let 2024 be the year that we learn to grow in him as we listen, learn to hear his voice, recognize his voice, and obey him.